Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at @DReefer or at @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Daniel. Hey, that mic sounds weird, too.
Did you test the other one out? Does it sound okay? A little better?
Very, very tinny.
Let me get closer.
Maybe that'll work.
I'm a little closer now.
Yeah. It's better.
Our program director is in here this morning, so we definitely better be on good behavior. No, that doesn't matter at all.
We do whatever we want when we want, and we don't care.
If you don't like it, pull the plug. No, don't. Don't pull the plug. Need the money. So the UK football scrimmage yesterday, we'll talk about that. And then two big horse races yesterday. See, now I can't hear myself. Are you turning me down?
Oh, am I?
Yes,
okay, you're turning me down. Why is this not going down at all? Oh, there we go. That's much better. I'm usually that one.
Right.
So, okay.
That's it. Now my eardrums are crushed. Let me turn it back down. Sorry, folks. We don't do a rehearsal. It just goes. We sit.
It's live.
Yeah. But yeah, UK football scrimmage, and then Songbird and Chrome, California Chrome looked amazing yesterday. The UFC fight was maybe one of the best ones ever. It was pretty good. And now I just found out we're going to talk high school football, and Bryant Station head coach Frank Parks will join us at 9:30.
They had a big win last night in overtime, you said, against Wayne County.
Yeah.
And to open up the season. You kind of get the feeling that football around Lexington might be pretty decent this fall.
Yeah, Bryant Station's young, but clearly has some talent because Wayne County's pretty good, or expected to be pretty good anyway.
Lafayette's obviously a great team.
Mm-hmm. Scott County's going to be good.
Lexington Catholic, LCA. Yeah, there's some good teams to go out and check out.
Mm-hmm. Henry Clay.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Mm-hmm. All right, but the UK football scrimmage, Mark Stoops said, mixed feelings. He was frustrated not to see what he calls the fine strokes, you know, the attention to detail. But overall, thought they got a lot accomplished. Mentioned that it got a little sloppy with the twos and threes out there. And he said that is what kind of puts a bad taste in your mouth. Saw both sides do some good things, but depth is where they have to make the biggest jump in the next couple of weeks. But he, you know, his thing about giving them more, being able to handle more capacity and working them harder and longer and all that stuff. He said,
talk about specific numbers, right?
Yeah. 25% to 28% more work than a year ago this time.
Well, he started, he said 28% more work. Well, 25 to 28. 28% more.
Where does he get that number? Where does he get the 28%? So, I mean, the key takeaways there are depth, and then DJ Elliott said tackling is also a problem.
And Stoops specifically talked about the linebacking core and the defensive line. 381-1313 if you want to jump in with us here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. I got to say, Dan, it's just so frustrating to me to see the comments after the scrimmage be, well, we still lack depth. Because I'm trying to figure out what, because, I mean, now he's got how many recruiting classes in? Four?
This is the fourth one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There should be some depth by now, right?
You would think so. They keep getting... I mean, they had to have, you know, the guys that were already there kind of cycle through. And so now what we've seen is some of those guys that were counting on moved on. And so they keep having to rely on younger guys. And maybe this last year was probably the first year they were able to go and rely on some redshirt freshmen. And so they're kind of having to do that again this year. And then they had to bring in, you know, some transfers, Courtney Love and Nero Laster.
And I understand it's not at every position. And especially offensively, I feel like there is that depth there.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part on the offensive side of the ball. It's just really, it's defensively. But Stoops is a defensive guy. You know, you just kind of, I guess I kind of hoped at this point depth wouldn't be as much of an issue.
Yeah.
But I get it.
But the ones did look pretty good. And Stoops did say that they were able to put one unit out there, was the way he described it, I think. Was that they were able to go with, like, on defense, instead of, I guess, having too many twos or threes or whatever out there. They were able to put one defensive unit out there, a few packages that they liked, and were happy with that. But Eli Brown missed the scrimmage. He's, you know, an important factor.
Mm-hmm.
And he did say that some of the stuff on defense that looked sloppy was because Eli was not in there helping hold that down. But, I mean, Eli Brown has never played.
Yeah.
And he's going to be counted on big time. Jordan Jones played as a true freshman last year. Blake Bone, by the way, was out nursing a hamstring. Dorian Baker hamstring, according to Mark Stoops. A couple guys that missed. And we could talk more football in a moment, but I got to get to this fight because it's the last thing that happened, and it was pretty awesome. Conor McGregor.
Everyone said it was worth every penny.
Yeah.
Everyone who paid for it.
Nate Diaz rematch. Diaz had beaten McGregor. Oh, when was it? But beat him in the second round, first time they fought. And so.
And McGregor is probably the biggest trash talker.
Absolutely.
Ever. Maybe ever.
Yeah. He talks a ton. So McGregor wins the decision 48-47, 47-47, 48-47. So really it came down to a point each by two judges. Diaz was not happy, thought he should have won the fight. There was a moment in it where Diaz looked like he was going to end it, was going to take McGregor out. And Diaz said McGregor should have finished him off in like the first round. Should have taken care of business, because once he didn't, it was on. And that was it. The first round of the fight, McGregor takes it to him. It's like kicking the heck out of this guy's back leg. I mean, it's just like welting up. And then gets some shots in. And it's clear that McGregor's on his game. He's got Diaz all redded up on the face. I mean, eventually Diaz is bleeding from both eyes. You know, just it's getting in his eyes. And he comes back. This guy rallies and gets in McGregor's face and just chases him, challenges him, and just gets after him. I mean, for a guy to just get kind of whipped and, you know, physically affected and then come back from that and take the fight right back at that guy, it was impressive to watch. I mean, just the kind of will and determination and stamina. But these guys talk so much trash. But afterward, it's like a little handshake, a little embrace, a little head rub. They did that a couple times. And then they say, they'll talk trash and then say, but he's a good fighter, or I respect him. You got to respect that. He keeps coming, you know, blah, blah, blah. So are they just selling the fight, you think?
Oh, I mean, I think the jawing is part of it, right? I mean, it's part of why people love it. Now, I don't
know. So you don't think they really absolutely hate each other's guts?
Well, I mean, at some level, to do that to another human being, to get into ring and be able to do that, mm-hmm. you've got to at least convince yourself that you hate him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go in there thinking, eh, it's my buddy, and we'll shake on it afterwards. You just, like, you would lose every time. So I'm sure mentally they've got to psych themselves out like that. And then maybe once all the adrenaline wears off, you know, they can sit in a room together. I don't know if this is from recently or if it was from a while ago, but I just heard this week with Conor McGregor, who some people believe may be auditioning for a spot on WWE just to make some quick cash.
Right.
Did you hear him talk about John Cena?
No. I didn't hear him say anything about Cena.
He said, and I I apologize. I wish I could get Eddie Grant in here to say this because I don't do a good Irish accent. But he said, John Cena over there saying we can't see him. We can see you. I see exactly what you are. You're a 40-year-old man. You got nothing left in the tank.
That was pretty
good.
He's
like, we all see you. And he went through and said and like berated all the guys in the WWE right now. And then he went on to say they're not Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin because those guys were true champions. And said, and I also love Vinnie Mac. Vinnie Mac, what you're doing with those guys over there right now is amazing. So he was complimenting, talking a lot about WWE, complimenting Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but he, but the way.
So now after this fight.
Yeah. The way he put it against, about John Cena was hilarious. But Brock Lesnar has done both.
Right.
You know? So, I wonder if Conor McGregor wants to make a crossover just temporarily for a WrestleMania type thing or a pay-per-view deal.
Yeah.
Just to make some money.
Probably has already talked about it with Vince McMahon.
I'm sure of it.
So here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You call out Cena. Make sure you compliment some of these other guys.
Yeah.
To compare him to the past and say he's not as good as those other guys. Just make sure you do that. Yeah. Yeah, but this, and MMA, which is nothing like, you know, WWE in the actual competition.
No.
In that part of it. But the same kind of stuff like, so it's the final round. It's 5 rounds, by the way, of 5 minutes. 5 minutes of actual fighting. So that's 25 minutes of fighting somebody.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's you just try to go 5 minutes of a fight. I mean, real fights on the street last like a minute, 2 minutes.
Right.
You try to fight somebody for five and then do that five times with like a minute break in between. My gosh. So it's the final round. Diaz is like bleeding all over his face. There's blood all over McGregor, like on his shoulder and head from Diaz, because they're leaning on each other and stuff like that. So dancing around the ring a little bit, and McGregor keeps making him chase him a little, you know. So Diaz extends his arm and flips him the bird right in his face in the final round. And so just before the final horn, like the last 10 seconds, Diaz takes down McGregor and has him, you know, has him down. And then the bell goes. And so Diaz reaches down and gives McGregor a hand up. I mean, he flipped him off a minute ago. And then they give a little embrace.
Now, would you have said Conor McGregor won or Nate Diaz?
Ah, it was so close.
Yeah.
So close. I mean, you could make a case for Diaz for sure. I wasn't thinking like he got robbed. I was thinking this could go either way. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with either one of them winning. Diaz's thing was, you know, it's got to count for something.
That he knocked him out?
Well, that he made him chase him. It should count for something that he was the aggressor, a lot of the time and came after him. And this guy's moving, you know, but that's part of it, too. You could say that that's part of McGregor's strategy that worked or whatever, but Diaz's complaint was he wouldn't engage me enough. So stand there and box him.
Well, I mean, it worked for Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
It's worked for him.
Well, this wasn't like one of those Mayweather fights, that's for sure. These guys got, you know, they got after it. And we're talking, when you say running, I mean, he just moved away a few times, you know, made him come to him, but he just kept coming. By the way, both agreed to a third fight.
Surprise.
Immediately afterward, yeah.
Would you get pummeled for 25 minutes for $3 million?
You know, have myself in shape to be competitive or just right now go?
No, I mean, I think it would only be fair for you to have, you know, some
time. I'd
have
to train for like 6 months. Seriously. And then just being in shape wouldn't be enough.
No, because you
have no technique, no experience in doing this. You just get in there and try to hold your own. For how long? 25 minutes?
No, I guess one round. You probably wouldn't go the distance.
Because there was another fight last night where this guy rumbled just one punch, uppercut, caught the guy in the chin, lights out. And remember now, in MMA, if you get knocked out like that, well, the guy who just knocked you out is in half a second on top of you beating your head in. You hit the mat and you're not ready for that, or you got knocked out and took such a tough blow, you can't even breathe before the next hit is on your head and a big dude's laying on top of you. So no, I think I would rather live than take the $3 million. I don't know that I could stay in there. I used to train with a guy years ago.
Right, because I'm not saying, take a punch and then fall to the ground and say, oh, I did it. Here, where's my money? Like, I wanted you to
stay in the
To try. Yeah.
Yeah. This guy I used to train with years ago would really good shape, super fit. And he was training for MMA. Wanted to do it. And so he got into his first fight, crushed. I mean, came back, saw him, his face is disfigured, just destroyed. Yeah, and he was training for it and taking boxing and jiu-jitsu or something and just destroyed. So I've been in like two, maybe three fights, from kid to high school.
And you're not training for the, what I mean, though, sir.
So, no, these guys, no, a real MMA dude, no way. Mm-mm. Not a chance. I would feel better about, taking boxing down at, Legends on Versailles Road or something with Sarge. Let him train me for 6 months and then get in the ring with a boxer.
A boxer.
Because then if you're going to get knocked out, then, that's that.
Yeah.
I don't think I would die. MMA, and they might cart me right off.
It might be it. Curtains.
Or rewire my jaw. Brain damage. Who knows? Who knows? All right, 381-1313 is the number to call. Next, we're going to get into football. High school football is coming up here in 10 minutes. Brian Stations. Frank Parks is going to join us. They had a big win over Wayne County last night. Here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Ride rough, ride tough. MLS Power Sports got the ride you're looking for.
Is summer moving too fast? Get the horsepower to catch it at MLS Power Sports of Georgetown during the Arctic Cat Factory Authorized Clearance Sale. Get a 2015 Wildcat Sport for as low as $156 a month or 0% financing and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports to ride in the summer sun. Arctic Cat, share our passion. Offer subject to change. Not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Ride victoriously.
Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders are under 16. Each rider must wear a seatbelt and approved helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. We recommend that all ROV operators have a driver's license and that all riders take a training course. Read and understand the owner's manual before operation. For safety or training information, see your dealer. Savings vary by model, purchase, and dealer participation. Offer subject to change. See dealer for details.
Command and conquer.
That's really what you want to do when it comes to cleaning your home or office. You want to say, this is what needs to be done, and then you want it done, and you want it done well. That's why Command & Conquer Cleaning has so many satisfied customers. You tell them what you want done, and they take care of the rest. Cleaning your home or office with satisfaction guaranteed. Call or text 859-302-0142, 859-302-0142 for your free consultation and quote. Command & Conquer Cleaning provides a quality job at the most affordable prices. Locally owned and operated, so you get service unmatched in the business. Call or text Lori today for your free consultation and quote at 859-302-0142. That's 859-302-0142.
Command and conquer.
That's how cleaning should be.
I was out mowing my lawn last weekend, and that's when I realized that even a small engine can have a big problem. That didn't sound good. So I went to Moses's, a one-stop shop for all your lawn equipment needs. From small engine repair to outdoor power equipment sales, Moses's does it all. And with experienced factory-trained techs, they have a reputation for fixing it right at 511 North Broadway, across from Broadway Mini Mart in Georgetown. Moses's, your local outdoor power experts that promise great service after every sale.
ESPN Sports Radio.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So we'll talk more UK football here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show, 381-1313. But do want to get in some stuff on the high school football, because we got Frank Parks, head coach at Bryan Station, coming up next. I didn't want to mention in their game, it was 35-28 in overtime. Chris Jones for Bryan Station. You didn't hear about him last year because he didn't, you know, he wasn't in. Every year, you know, new guy's got to step up.
Yes.
He's a new guy that's having to step up. Three touchdowns, including the go-ahead 10-yard TD run in overtime, and then the defenders stopped Wayne County on fourth down in overtime to win it in the Roy Kidd Bowl at Madison Central. And
he had three touchdowns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Jalen Burbidge and Quentin Floyd were a couple of big guys for Bryan Station on that side. So we'll talk to Frank Parks, the head coach, about that. Also in the Roy Kidd Bowl, Madison Central beat Knox Central 8-7. The Indians scored in the first quarter, got a two-point conversion. Knox Central scored on a punt return just before half. That was your ball game, 8-7. Defensive juggernaut.
I saw Josh Moore, a friend of the show from the Herald Leader,
yes,
tweet out when it was 8-7 that he felt like it was a 20-point lead, even though it was just 8-7.
So Madison Central looking pretty good on defense. The Fort Herod Bowl at Mercer County. Boyle County lost to North Hardin 21-20 in overtime. You just don't say Boyle County loses very often.
No.
When Chuck Smith has been the coach, especially you think of him in undefeated seasons. Well, already, first game, no undefeated seasons happening. But there was rain throughout the game. Boyle County quarterback Sam Tiller lost the ball as he was about to throw, you know, one of those. So that set up North Hardin at the 12 for a touchdown to tie the game. Boyle actually led 14-7 at the half. North Hardin tied it again the third quarter. Boyle scored first in overtime, point after blocked. So PAT blocked. And then the next thing that happens is a pass interference call in Boyle County on North Hardin's first play in overtime. That was that. But Chuck Smith said afterward, too many false start penalties, drop passes, sloppy conditions. Boyle County hosts Lafayette Friday in the Rebel Bowl at 8:30. Which I hate to hear that start time. 8:30 is just it's just like a placeholder. It's just out there floating around.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 9:30, 10 o'clock kickoff. That's what always happens with the doubleheaders.
Yeah, in these bowl games. And that's just brutal.
For TV, it is.
Because you're almost guaranteed, like, you'll get highlights, but you
don't know the score.
I will say, like, when we started doing it, sometimes it would be impossible to find scores. Twitter's made it a lot easier to at least say, in the third quarter, it's
absolutely,
you know, but you used to not be able to do that, and it was just like, here's a touchdown from them and a touchdown from them, and who knows what happened.
Yeah, Twitter has made it much better.
You used to have to make like 20 phone calls a night.
Yeah,
I remember we'd call like swimming coaches and be like, hey, were you at the football game tonight by any chance? You see the score? Remember the score?
I used to, when I was in Georgia, because Georgia didn't have a KHSAA.org. I mean, they had a website, but they didn't have, like, the scoreboard. I mean, so that scoreboard up there.
Yeah.
I mean, here in Kentucky, you may not realize it, but they have one of the best high school sports websites in the country.
Yeah.
They've got the rosters up there. They got all kinds of records,
history,
anything,
yeah.
all that stuff. So you got all those scores that come across for you. Whereas when I was in Georgia, I would call, I made a list of every game we were going to, and then I would call the school or somebody, because the coach's number does you no good. He's either coaching
yeah.
or he's talking to his team, but whatever he's doing, he's too busy to pick up the phone and tell you what the score was.
Right.
So you got to get one of the other people. So I'd like call the school and be like, all right, look, here's the deal. I need a score for tonight's game. Who do you know that's going to be at the game? You know somebody that I could call their cell phone, they would answer it, all that stuff. Like, yeah, you know, I do know somebody like that. Let me put you through. And so that's how it would go for every game.
I know. I would leave cards with people and say, you mind? Like, could you call the station?
Right.
And, yeah.
Well, on Friday night when I went out to shoot, there was a stack of cards there with the number on it and stuff that you're supposed to hand out. Yeah. So,
We digress.
All right, Harrodsburg Herald is where I'm getting my information for the Fort Herod Bowl, by the way. The host, Mercer County, lost to Central Hardin 21-7. Alvis Johnson and his family, Dennis and Derek, honored at midfield on Alvis Johnson Field. Kind of cool. Because for those of you who don't remember, I mean, you should know this about high school football in this state. Alvis Johnson is a legend.
Yes.
His son, Derek, and Dennis both played at UK. Dennis in the NFL, and Dennis was awesome defensive end. But Alvis, you know, coached Harrodsburg, and all those guys played at Harrodsburg.
There was a lot of good guys from came out of Harrodsburg.
A lot. Craig Yeast.
Yeasts, the Dunns, Jason Dunn.
Jason Dunn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Harrodsburg had it was just a factory for football players.
Mm-hmm.
Harrodsburg's a little school. They consolidated it into Mercer County. And remember when they did it, they decided on the nickname the Titans because it was kind of like the school with more of the African-American players versus the county school with more of the white kids. And so they won a state championship.
Yeah.
15-0 that first year. But lost the opener last night. All right, quickly we'll go through the rest here. Rec Bowl at Montgomery County. Collins beat Montgomery County 34-18. Frankfort beat Paris.
We'll hear from Joe at some point.
Yes.
Or maybe we won't since Paris lost.
Panthers got out to a 22-0 first half lead. Greyhounds scored with a minute 44 to go. Paris came back and made this thing crazy at the end. Minute 44 to go, they scored, then recovered the onside kick, scored again to cut it to 22-14.
Oh, wow.
44 seconds left, and then recovered the onside kick again. So had a chance to tie, you know, get a tying score. 2-point conversion would be a tying score, but Frankfort defense held. They won it. Franklin County.
Think they'll be working on onside kicks this week?
Yeah. Report from the State Journal on this information here. Franklin County beat Shelby Valley 55-0 Saturday. So, I mean, Chris Tracy was the coach there for several years. He left, so Flyers interim head coach Nick Sheridan's debut. First game, they make a 3.5-hour bus ride to Pikeville. He said they stopped to eat about halfway there, and then when they got there, there was a soccer game going on with about 40 minutes left.
Ugh.
But Denzel Vance for Franklin County scored the first two TDs on runs of 52 and 70 yards, and then Jeremiah Green at quarterback, 53-yard TD pass to Amir Lee, followed by Green rushing for a TD and then throwing another 30-yard pass to Trey Simmons, 35-0 at the half. Sheridan noted that Shelby Valley had 22 players, the Flyers, 65 on their roster. It's tough when you got 22 guys.
22 guys.
It's tough. No. I've been there.
That'll make it tough.
I've been there. One guy misses, you can't scrimmage.
Yeah.
And then finally, Western Hills, this was Friday night, beat Washington County 54-40. Hills led the game 42-13 at half. But their starting quarterback, Jalen Youngblood, was out with an injury. So Wandale Robinson, remember this name, Wandale Robinson. He's about 5'2", 5'3".
Oh, my gosh.
But he is a dynamo. He's normally a slot receiver. He replaced Youngblood at quarterback. Robinson wound up rushing for 266 yards and 4 TDs in the first half. He had 290 yards rushing, a fumble recovery, an 85-yard interception return, touchdown. And that's when Washington County was driving and the game was kind of still in the balance. It was 28-13. Boom. 85-yard interception return touchdown. Next play from scrimmage, Robinson recovers a fumble. Two plays later, he scores on an 80-yard TD run.
So my man's just a football player.
Single-handedly turned the game.
He's just a football player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Western Hills takes on Franklin County Friday night. So good stuff coming up Friday night. And we're going to talk about what happened last night with Bryan Station in Wayne County with the head coach of the Defenders, Frank Parks, next here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Nest Center for Women, Children, and Families gives children a chance, victims a choice, and families a future. Join us this year on Saturday, August 27th, for our annual fundraiser, A Night for the Nest. To benefit this long-standing nonprofit community organization, A Night for the Nest is an elegant celebration at the beautiful Normandy Farm. From 6 to 11 p.m., enjoy music by Mercy Men Band and Raleigh Daly and Danny Cecil Duo. Dinner by Chef Renata at Creative Table Kitchen and Catering and locally created cocktails. Participate in a silent auction and put your name in for an exciting raffle to win a trip to Florida with airfare and accommodations provided. It's A Night for the Nest, and you don't want to miss it. Saturday, August 27th from 6 to 11 p.m. at Normandy Farm. Your support will help provide a safe place for education, counseling, and support to women, children, and their families in crisis. For tickets, call 859-259-1974 or visit nestlexington.org.
Ride in your truck with style. On the road, off the road. That's the lifted life. Let your truck work for you. On the farm, on the job site. That's the lifted life. Take your truck out to play, at the lake, on the trail. That's the lifted life. Your truck is a part of you, whether it's for style, work, or play. So why not have the best of the best? Lucky's Off-Road is the truck accessories authority for getting you that lifted life. Lucky's installs everything you need to pull that boat, conquer that mountain, or function on that construction site. Suspension lifts, wheels and tires, winches, trailer hitches, toolboxes, bed covers, floor mats, step bars, bed liners, ladder racks, brush guards, vent visors, LED light bars, audio, video, you name it. Lucky's Off-Road has got it. Visit our showroom. Call Lucky's Off-Road at 859-299-4411 or get a quote at luckysoffroad.com today. Why? Because you deserve that lifted life.
Don't take chances with your fine clothing. Come to Emperor's Cleaners and have your clothes treated like royalty. Emperor's Cleaners will make you look good every day. Or for special occasions, Emperor's Cleaners also preserves wedding gowns that make them look as good as new. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in leather cleaning, shirt laundry, custom work, and alterations. You'll find them in the Idle Hour Shopping Center on Richmond Road. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 9 until 3. Emperor's Cleaners treats you and your clothes like royalty.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, we talked a little high school football just now, and we'll talk UK football coming up. Also some big horse races that were yesterday, that some impressive showings by Songbird and California Chrome. But right now on the line we have Frank Parks, head coach of Bryan Station, winners last night over Wayne County in overtime in the Roy Kidd Bowl at Madison Central. I believe now, is this Roy Kidd Bowl trophy number 4 in a row, Coach Parks?
Yes, it is.
All right, congratulations. Thanks for coming on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Coach Parks, you guys graduated quite a few really talented players last year, so at least, you know, for those of us that had not been at practice all, you know, fall and summer, you know, watching you guys kind of come together, you know, we kind of didn't know what to expect because you all are a little bit younger this year. Is last night's performance what you expected to see out of these guys, or were you even a little bit surprised at the way they hung in there?
Well, I knew their ability they was capable of, but with their experience, I didn't know exactly what we were going to get. We talked a lot about just trying to execute and make the right plays. So that was a couple guys who really stepped up, like Chris Jones. I know he had a talent, but this is the first time that he had an opportunity to be the feature back. So I was impressed the way they fought and just kept playing.
Well, Cornell Burbidge, of course, everyone around here knows that name because he played at UK. And now you've got his son, Jalen, a sophomore, playing at quarterback last night. But you also had, is it Courtney Floyd?
Quentin
Floyd, my bad.
Quentin.
Yeah, playing at quarterback some too. But first, tell us about Jalen and what you saw out of him last night.
Well, he did a good job of just making right plays and playing within himself. He's a very smart kid. So, you know, he knew what we wanted to do on offense. And as the season goes and his confidence grows, he would be a real good quarterback for us. And, you know, late on down the road, once he gets stronger, you'll see him make a lot of the throws and things that you've seen from some of our previous quarterbacks. But he played very well last night.
Talk a little bit about Chris Jones. He had three touchdowns, including the game-winning score from 10 yards out in overtime. Just talk a little bit about him and, you know, making the most of this first opportunity he gets.
Well, he's one of our faster kids. And even as a freshman, I wanted him to dress varsity, but he was a little more shy because he was real close with some of his freshman teammates. So he kind of wanted to stay back in the wings. But he's a very physical runner. You know, he's kind of wiry. He's very physical, but he's fast as well. So he don't mind contact. And once he got up the field, he's on break, and there's not too many people that can run with.
What kind of size is Chris Jones?
Well, he's about 5'11", 165, 170
yeah.
range.
Yeah. And then what about Quentin Floyd? Tell us a little bit about him.
Because he's committed to EKU, correct?
Yeah, already committed to EKU.
Yes, correct. He's very talented. He can do a lot of things. You know, he played defensive end, a little bit of outside linebacker last year, quarterback, tight end. He's a very big athlete. You know, he's big in stature, but he's very athletic for his size. So he can do a lot of different things for us. You know, he's one of our most vital players, offense and defense, because he can do so many great things.
So do you have special packages for him at quarterback, or is it depending on the opponent if you need him more defensively versus offense, or is Burbidge just going to be kind of the guy?
Well, it's a game-by-game basis. We basically would rather just play him a lot on defense and, you know, package for him, prepare for him offensively, because I think Jalen can do a great job for us. But they're both different, so, you know, he has a different element than Jalen does. And, you know, teams have to prepare for both of them, because both of them capable of coming in and moving the offense. But basically, we're probably better off with Jalen, a quarterback, if we can just play Quentin and defense more often than not.
What did you think of your guys against Wayne County? Wayne County, top five preseason in what coaches think as far as what Wayne County's capable of in 4A. And you have a lot of guys that maybe you hadn't seen in this type of situation, you know, in these having to step up and take on different roles. What did you think of how your guys handled that?
Well, they showed me a lot of toughness last night. You know, we had a little adversity at the end of the game. And, you know, in past, with such a young team, I don't know if we would have won in overtime, but the kids were still upbeat. They were staying positive, wasn't no negativity on the sideline. So I was really impressed just the way they bounced back from the little adversity toward the end. So they showed me a lot last night. Now, Wayne County, you know, they're a heck of a club. They are a top five club in 4A, whatever. So they played a great game.
Talking with Bryan Station head coach Frank Parks on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Looking ahead here, Friday night, Simon Kenton. Oh, that's a tough one right there, and you've played them the last few years.
Yes, it is. So, it's, you know, we have to celebrate this victory we had, and it's time to get back to work because they're a very good ball club. Marksbury has done a good job of continuing to improve in their program. You know, they've been in the top five or six and 6A the last several years, so it's going to be a tough one going up there. You know, they have a lot back. Great quarterback who's a senior who played well against us last year. So we're going to have our hands full. We just have to prepare and make sure we are executing at a very high level.
Coach Parks, can you talk a little bit about what you see around the city this year as far as high school football?
Well, I think you got a lot of youth other than Lafayette. You know, they are very stable at the quarterback with Walker Woods, and you got Big Jed. So, you know, most of the other teams around here are young, like us, Henry Clay and Chase Creek. You know, we all kind of young and going to have some growing pains. But I think talent-wise, everyone is pretty strong. And by the time of the end of the year, they'll kind of be a tough out.
And one more question for you before we let you go is, you know, this new high school, I don't know what they're going to call it yet, but, you know, Fayette County High School that's going to be out there off Winchester Road. When that thing comes open, what do you think the effect will be? Because Mike Fields, a few years ago already, I wrote an article on how the talent pool kind of gets watered down in Fayette County to make it harder to compete with the Louisville football schools. So now, and that was before there was talk of adding another school, and now there is going to be another school. How do you think that's going to affect how the teams look in Lexington and how competitive they'll be able to be out in the rest of the state?
Well, I think it's going to have a great effect. And one issue you have is just the middle schools now. What middle schools are going to feed, the different middle schools are going to feed that school that maybe we got or Henry Clay got. And then you have the Carter G Academy, which I have kids who – in my district go to their school, but they play for me. So
yeah,
I've been hearing that, you know, that school may be in the high school and they may have those kids play for that high school. So, you know, that would be, it would hurt some schools, especially me significantly, just because, you know, the talent pool and those kids that attend Carter G.
Yeah. I mean, for example, we've seen Tate's Creek's enrollment drop, and as a result, competitiveness has dropped in that football program as well. So, well, Coach Parks, we appreciate it. Good luck against Simon Kenton and the rest of the season, and congratulations on a big win on opening night for you guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Coach Frank Parks there from Bryan Station. He has done a heck of a job, by the way. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, an assistant for a long time. I think going back to Madison Central, and then Kenny Turner, he was with him there at Bryan Station, and Craig East maybe. Yeah, I guess he was there for Craig East too.
Mm-hmm.
And
then, I believe so.
And then he's taken over, and was Kenny Turner the head coach at Bryan Station? Am I remembering that right?
He was at Madison Central, but I don't know if he went to Bryan Station.
Was he at Bryan Station? I'm sorry. But anyway.
Oliver, someone was there.
Oliver Lucas came in for, I'll never forget Oliver Lucas, let me just tell you. That guy is a different kind of bird. He's a good guy. I mean, good football coach, too. But just one time he explained a running back to me as he called him. I didn't use it on the preview that we were doing, but he called him the afterbirth runner because he just kind of splurts out there. Hey, he said that on an interview on camera. Like, well, that's a nice description of
oh, my God.
So... anyway, that's why I won't forget Oliver Lucas.
And now I will not either.
All right. Talking UK football on the other side of this on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Never trust your appearance to just anyone. Get your swagger on at Lexington's top-rated barbershop, Prince Cuts Barbershop. Open 7 days a week, Prince Cuts Barbershop is Lexington's most upscale barbershop, and the men there give you the style you deserve. Prince Cuts has something for everyone, and you can even book your appointment online at princecuts.com. Prince Cuts is not your ordinary barbershop, it's an experience. Located off Richmond Road behind Panera in front of Doubletree, Prince Cuts. Call 299-CUTS. You will get a style fit for Prince.
As an advertisement. When someone has an accident or an on-the-job injury, our main goal is to make sure our clients are fairly compensated. Fairly compensated for their injuries, bills, loss of income, future and past, and for pain and suffering, and for the loss of enjoyment of life. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. In most of our cases, we're able to reach a settlement quickly without a need for trial. and our clients are able to get on with their lives. But to recover what we believe is fair, it's important that the insurance company know a law firm goes to trial and gets results. You see, not all law firms are the same. I've seen so many come and go these past 27 years. To reach a fair settlement, hire a firm with a reputation for verdicts at trial. Visit ForThePeople.com and review our verdicts. Trial verdicts are the best weapon for a fair settlement. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com.
Offices, Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
The Nest, Center for Women, Children, and Families, gives children a chance, victims a choice, and families a future. Join us this year on Saturday, August 27th, for our annual fundraiser, A Night for the Nest. To benefit this long-standing nonprofit community organization, A Night for the Nest is an elegant celebration at the beautiful Normandy Farm. From 6 to 11 p.m., enjoy music by Mercy Men Band and Raleigh Daly and Danny Cecil Duo. Dinner by Chef Renata at Creative Table Kitchen and Catering, and locally created cocktails. Participate in a silent auction and put your name in for an exciting raffle to win a trip to Florida with airfare and accommodations provided. It's A Night for the Nest, and you don't want to miss it. Saturday, August 27th, from 6 to 11 p.m. at Normandy Farm. Your support will help provide a safe place for education, counseling, and support to women, children, and their families in crisis. For tickets, call 859-259-1974 or visit nestlexington.org.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
381-1313. You can give us a call and join the conversation. We're going to talk a little UK football. And also, it's my fantasy football draft today.
So I'd
love a little help if anyone wants to offer it up. I feel like this year people just haven't been, or at least I haven't, and my group hasn't really studied like the mock drafts and stuff like I've done in years past.
Like ESPN had 24 hours or something like that.
And I just didn't even
football.
Care that much.
I didn't either. I just, I used to. I mean, we've got a group of guys that have been doing it for like 20 years.
I'm still going to do it, and I'm still going to enjoy it. And once the NFL football season starts, I mean, man, I'm all in. So I have the 10th pick in out of 10.
Yeah,
but it's a snake draft, so I always will go back to back.
That's hard. The back to back, I think, because you got to get two right there.
And then wait for an hour.
Yeah. Well, what I do is I have that whatever minute 30 on the clock for each pick, and I'm using that minute 30 to figure out who or the time. But like I do no preparation.
Right. I do none.
And I'm just trying to look it up and whatever they say, and then there'll be a few hunches on guys, usually Bears, who don't pan out.
Right. I'm like, will Adrian Peterson be around at the 10th pick? And he probably won't be.
Yeah.
But he's also getting old.
Yep.
He also led the league in rushing last year when he was old, too. But I would... Oh, I did run into someone yesterday. And I probably just have to tell this really quick. Who was a Vikings fan, right? Grew up in Lexington, from Lexington.
And
I occasionally meet Vikings fans, John McGarry.
Yeah.
No. But John McGarry, who used to call into the show, maybe he's listening, he was a fan of Fran Tarkenton, which a lot of people that you meet who are Vikings fans, who are a little bit older, no offense, John, are fans because of Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah.
Right? But it's kind of rare that you meet Vikings fans. But when you
Around here,
it's usually that reason, right?
But now Teddy Bridgewater.
Right. And so there's some. But so I meet this guy yesterday as a Vikings fan. I have a legit reason, you know, growing up in Minnesota.
Right.
And so I said, what made you a Vikings fan? And he goes,
I don't know why I took a drink of coffee right before you, because I just know I'm going to spit it out.
And he goes, Mo Williams.
Ha! Mo Williams, yeah.
And I said, I bet you are the one person on planet Earth who that is the reason, besides, other than him, his parents, that is the reason you're a Vikings fan.
I mean, I could see UK fans, you know, pulling for the Vikings, but then becoming a full-blown fan.
Right, he hasn't played there in 10 years.
Yeah, more than that. And, yeah. By the way, Mo Williams is from Columbus, Georgia, not from Kentucky.
But to me, it doesn't...
But he's here now. Did you know that,
but
right?
But he doesn't even register as, like, someone who is, like, huge with the Vikings.
Yeah.
Like a legendary Viking.
No,
Or really even, you know, and I wasn't here when he played at UK. I know he was, you know, obviously good. He had, you know, good seasons in the league and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But doesn't always register to me as like one of the UK greats. So
at running back, he is.
Yeah. But I just feel like he's never really that talked about. So just when this guy was like, ha, ha, Mo Williams, duh.
As if you should have known. Right. The entire state is a Viking state because of what Mo Williams did. Didn't you know it?
So
it just so happens I opened the media guide, and the place I opened it to, like right where I opened it, just by luck, 100-yard rushers, most in a game, the record for most rushing yards by a running back in a game, Mo Williams, 299 versus South Carolina in 1995. Almost 300 yards. Mo Williams, 1995, 272 yards against Cincinnati. Mo Williams, Mississippi State, 1995, 238 yards against Mississippi State. So Mo Williams in 1995 had three games rushing of at least 238 yards, and he holds the first three single-game rushing records in Kentucky football history. So
we don't ever really talk about him. Do you feel that way? Like,
yeah, but if you were like 30 in 1995 and living here, you're a Vikings fan, yeah, because of Mo Williams. I'm telling you that right now. Mo is currently, you've seen this, right, a grad assistant or a part-time assistant or an assistant, at student assistant at UK right now because he's getting his degree. He's come back to get his degree.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
And he is now a student assistant over there. We should probably get him on the show. He's a student assistant. It's not like we'd be asking for Eddie Grant. You know? We might be able to do that. I think another radio show has already had him on, and this is why I know this about Mo Williams. But I did see him at practice, too. So, yeah, we should get him on here. But...
Anyways,
yeah,
I just thought that was kind of random. But yeah, I think Teddy's made some. I'm a fan of Teddy's now, for sure.
But when I moved down there to Columbus, Georgia, you know, covering the high school football teams, I didn't know that Mo was from there. And one of the coaches, his coach from when he played there at Spencer High School in Columbus, was like, yeah, Mo Williams, he played up. I had a pretty good running back here a few years ago. We sent him up to Kentucky. Mo Williams. Like, oh, yeah, I know Mo. Oh, yeah, Mo Williams, yeah, of course. So once that, you know, the connection was made, and I always had that connection with that coach. One of those guys that's been around forever and just a mentor to young kids, you know. So, yeah, we said we were going to talk UK football scrimmage.
Yeah.
We've maybe talked it for a few minutes.
We've got a whole hour.
We do
left,
have
Dan.
A whole hour. We do have a whole hour. So let's not try to squeeze in anything right now. Let's go on those two horse races yesterday. Songbird won the Alabama Stakes at Saratoga by 7 lengths in the first race at a mile and a quarter for her. She's now a perfect 10 for 10. Never ran a mile and a quarter before and now is 10 for 10. 3-year-old Songbird.
So will she run in the Breeders' Cup Classic?
She's got to. Here's the thing. She hasn't run against the boys yet.
Yeah.
No competition against the males. And there's been, you know, questions of pushing her that way, but they've just been no. But so would she run in the distaff?
Distaff, yeah.
And just know that you're going to win the distaff. That money's yours if you're Songbird's connections. Distaff money is yours right now. Or go for the fame and glory and a little more money in the classic, but have to face California Chrome and Exaggerator.
Yeah. I might choose the distaff there. And
I mean, that's money.
Yeah.
It's money. All right.
And her legacy.
We'll talk a little bit more about California Chrome and Songbird and more UK football after this on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLXG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
San Francisco to face Buster Posey and the Giants.
Got him looking.
The Mets and Giants today at 7 Eastern on ESPN and on ESPN Radio.
Did you miss the right time with Bomani Jones?
The 100 meters is the show. There is nothing at the Olympics that is more of a worldwide sport than track and field. This is what people show up for. This is the truest representation of the Olympic ideal. And one dude stands so far ahead of everybody else. And that's Usain Bolt.
The right time with Bomani Jones. Weekdays from 4 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio or on the ESPN app.
Sports Center at night. Kick back and settle in.
Hey, what's up? If you turn the channel, thank you for doing that.
Wake up the kids. It's not explicit. It's instructional.
To end your day on a highlight.
Storytelling, Neil and Stan.
Winners. Who's got them? Your boy, allegedly.
Because when the sun goes down, Sports Center lights up.
Sports Center's top plays.
Time now for today's one big thing.
You can't fake this kind of chemistry.
I don't have anything left. I've enjoyed this immensely.
Sports Center at night, 11 p.m. midnight and 1 a.m. Eastern, only on ESPN.
Counting down to kickoff of the college football season.
This is ESPN College Nation Florida State reporter Jared Schenker. Now that the Seminoles have settled on a quarterback, DeAndre Francois, the biggest question is whether his supporting cast will ease his transition. Six first-year starting quarterbacks have won national titles since 2009, and Jimbo Fisher said his biggest takeaway is those teams all had experienced supporting casts that stepped up.
College football kicks off every morning with Mike and Mike, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Why should you play fantasy football with ESPN? Because ESPN has the number one fantasy app. You can do it all right on your phone. Create your own league or join an existing one. Can't make it to the draft? No problem. Make all your picks right on the app. And manage your team on the go all season long. It's fantasy football dominance right in the palm of your hand. Download the ESPN fantasy app and start your league today.
A 16-episode podcast, Pin Kings. It's the story of two All-American high school wrestlers, teammates, and friends who ultimately ended up on the opposite sides of the war on drugs.
I just couldn't stand the thought of this failure that had occurred in my life. And I didn't think I had an answer. I took the gun and I put it to my head. And I had to make a decision whether I was going to pull that trigger or not.
Subscribe to Pin Kings now on the ESPN app or download it on Apple Podcasts.
Sports. ESPN. Sports Radio 1300.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening on this final day of the Summer Olympics in Rio. The U.S. men's Olympic basketball team seeks its third straight gold medal in the final against Serbia at 2:45 Eastern. With a victory, Carmelo Anthony would become the first man to win three Olympic men's basketball golds. Conor McGregor defeated Nate Diaz by majority decision at UFC 202. His $3 million purse for the event was the richest in history. David Ortiz blasted his 29th home run of the season, tied for the most by a player 40 or older in a single season in Major League Baseball history. He and the Red Sox edged the Tigers 3-2. Astros pounded on the Orioles 12-2. Baltimore's given up 40 runs the last four games. Blue Jays got past the Indians 6-5. Toronto leads the AL East by a half game on Boston, 2.5 on Baltimore. Marlins 3, Pirates 1. Miami's a game back, game and a half back of the Cardinals for the second NL wild card. Pittsburgh 2 back. Reds 11, Dodgers 1. LA a half game back of NL West leading San Francisco. Chris Bryant 2-for-5 with a home run and 4 RBI in the Cubs 9-2 victory over the Rockies. Bryant's got 10 hits and 10 RBI the last three games. Nationals took care of the Braves 11-9. 12th time this season, Washington scored at least 10 runs in a game. That's the third most such games in the National League. Mariners won their 8th straight at home, defeated the Brewers 8-2. Seattle trails Baltimore by a game for the second AL wild card. Detroit's 3.5 back. Sprint Cup race, suspended by rain, will resume this afternoon at Bristol Motor Speedway.
It's a war of words throughout the NFL. Can the players, the league, and the NFLPA reach a compromise, or will the power struggle only get worse? The guys discuss Monday on Mike and Mike, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Hey y'all, Bo Hunter here. For quite some time, I've been telling you about my favorite store, R&R Archery and Outdoors. Hunting season is almost here, and they've got great closeout prices on all Bear archery bows. Seriously, why would you even consider buying a new bow anywhere else? They have great prices on all their equipment, an amazing selection in stock, and offer setup and service of your new equipment that you just can't get from some big box store. Plus, now through September 30th, go to R&R Archery for the Hoyt Defiant Test Drive event. With the area's best indoor shooting range, you can test drive the new Defiant bow from Hoyt. While you're there, don't forget to enter the Hoyt Sweepstakes. You might just win a 2016 custom Ram truck from Hoyt. Remember, great closeout prices and all Bear bows, including the Apprentice, Escape, and Arena, while supplies last. When they're gone, they're gone. This is Bo Hunter. You can hit your target every time with R&R Archery, 106 Osborne Way in the Walmart Shopping Center off I-75 in Georgetown.
I want to be as blunt as I've ever been in one of my ads. All lawyers are not the same. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Sometimes I read in the newspaper that a certain lawyer or law firm is representing someone involved in a serious accident, and my heart just sinks for that family. There are lawyers who haven't been to trial in years or ever, and insurance companies know who they are. There are some who just take the last best offer. A case settled by one firm for $100,000 may have a value of $1 million if handled by another. Insurance companies know which lawyers get results at trial. It's their job, too. And those firms receive the best early settlements. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about our 26 years of results and verdicts. Remember, you only have one day in court. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com.
Offices, Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
All right. Did we just not discuss this? Did you hear our conversation, Mary Jo?
No.
With Josh? I gave Josh such a hard time yesterday. I love the guy. Good kid.
Good kid. Great kid.
I do give him a hard time, but, you know, he does a good job. Except when he doesn't. did we not just talk? I said, you asked me. You want to do this coming right back in?
I said, do you want to lead in?
Oh, you said lead in. Okay, so my mistake. Okay. All right. Miscommunication. That's all right. I walked away from it agreeing that, you know, I was thinking lead into the segment with it. And then, but it's, you know, we could do it either way. It's fine. But what are you drinking this morning? L81?
Oh, my God.
Citrus Drop Extreme. Let me see the can. I got to see the Citrus Drop Extreme. So, what is the extreme part about it? It has bat poop in it or something?
Guano.
Yeah, guano. What's the extreme part? High fructose corn syrup. That's normal.
ginseng?
Yeah, it doesn't have any of that. So they're just saying it's extreme.
That's false advertising.
It's extremely cheap.
Yeah.
Mountain Dew.
No, it's just saying this is extreme because it's a Mountain Dew imposter.
Yeah.
And it's saying, well, we're extreme too. I heard a commercial for Mountain Dew Black Label. Have you tried this yet? Do you know anything about that? Were you talking to me?
He's
absolutely. I'm talking directly to him. Didn't even hear the question.
Wow. That was so funny. I wish you could see, like, we're just in this little room and there's just three of us in here, and Dan and Josh are literally looking at each other having a conversation back and forth, and then Dan
ask a question
as part
with eye contact.
Germane to the conversation you'd been having.
Yeah.
And Josh, like,
something.
What?
Yeah.
Were you talking to me?
Like, there's something in your brain there where I think it just clicks off real quick. And, they, like, uncontrollably, you're just like, I'm out. I'm like, what's that now? You were doing what now? I have no memory of this. Oh, you take it like a champ, Josh. All right, we were talking about California Chrome. Of course, the jockey is Victor Espinoza.
He was also the jockey on American Pharaoh.
And so, California Chrome yesterday in the Pacific Classic at Del Mar blew away the field. I mean, crushed them. Got away out of the gate, went to the lead, never challenged at all. Beat Beholder by 5 lengths.
Yeah.
We all know how good Beholder is. I mean, Beholder, one of the great ones. Dortmund was next after that. So California Chrome jockey Victor Espinoza is asked about the two horses, American Pharaoh, California Chrome. Here was his answer to TVG.
Today was much the best.
Victor, it's been a tremendous year for you. Just over a year ago, you won the Triple Crown, the first time in 37 years. You've now won the TVG Pacific Classic with California Chrome, the Dubai World Cup. Where would these two match up? If you had to pick tomorrow, if there was a race between Pharaoh and Chrome, who would you jump on?
Well, it's really tough. I mean, I'm telling you, as a three-year-old, I would go with American Pharaoh. But as older horses, there's no one like California Chrome. California Chrome, he's international. He wins everywhere and every track. Even in the turf, he wins. So I got to go for California Chrome.
Congratulations. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
I also understand his reasoning there.
Yeah. And he said, he's the best horse I've ever ridden.
Yeah.
And I saw some people react to that like, okay. But they didn't hear that.
You know? Yeah. And I see that.
Yeah. Now, he's saying, as a three-year-old, Chrome and American Pharaoh, three-year-old campaign, well, you take the one who won the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
Obviously. But if American Pharaoh was running right now as a four-year-old, he's saying California Chrome. I mean, California Chrome looks insanely good yesterday, and so did Songbird. Songbird is now 10 for 10. Filly has never raced against the colts, but she was last year's two-year-old champion. Filly has now won 6 grade 1s. She has won her races, or 10 races, by a combined 54 3/4 lengths, won by 7 lengths yesterday. So the Breeders' Cup will be,
yeah,
awesome.
If she's, but
if she's in there,
I don't blame them if they do the distaff though.
Yeah, last year, remember, American Pharaoh was in there, and Beholder was the one that everybody wanted to see if she could challenge him, and she wasn't able to race. So Songbird would be awesome to go in there with Exaggerator, and then Chrome could prove that he's still at least the second best horse of the last 3 years.
Yep.
The Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, I don't know if they haven't said that it's coming back yet. You haven't seen that, right? I don't think so.
Not officially, but yeah. I'm sure it will.
Yeah, when it comes back.
Such a success.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a way to be even more involved. It's a busy time, though.
I mean, it's tough to beat having the Triple Crown winner.
Mm-hmm.
In the class. Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
That'll be hard to ever top.
I just didn't get to participate in as many things that I wanted to do, like the weeks leading up to it, because they had so many events and stuff around town.
Yeah.
For it. But I went to the Saturday, and that was awesome. The whole day was just great. Great, great, great. But it's also right during football season, so it's kind of busy, too.
Yeah.
You know, right then.
Speaking of football.
Yes.
We're probably going to have to talk UK football at some point.
Well, there was a lot of stuff said yesterday with, we didn't say this yet, but just to recap if you didn't hear or you haven't heard, but Mark Stoops, mixed feelings, thought there were some good things on both sides, but the big takeaways, lack of depth, the 2s and 3s, it looked kind of sloppy, it looked kind of ugly. Need to get the depth better at linebacker and defensive line. Tackling was not so good. But the defense, the defense played better than they did the week before. The offense did some things, too, that looked good. So seems like it was kind of a wash, but the ones seemed to look pretty good.
Eddie Grant said the way they recovered, the offense recovered, because the defense made some nice plays and certainly started out with a three and out, which included a sack of Drew Barker,
yeah.
But that they recovered quickly. Now, the issue he had was that they didn't always finish those drives.
Right. That was the big thing. Here's Eddie Grant kind of gave the rundown. They got a three and out on the first possession, then a touchdown, then a field goal, and he said, I'm all in. That's huge. But then the next time you get down there, it can't be a field goal. You got to get seven. So that's the small strokes Coach Stoops talks about. Got to do the small things in the red zone to finish. And then he said, if we do that, we'll be really good. We'll have a chance. By the way, on that first three and out, that first series, it was a there was a sack of Barker. And then I guess they put the twos in, and that's the touchdown. And the touchdown was a 60-yard touchdown throw to Kaywan Ross, who at the beginning of camp said he looks great, got a lot to learn, got a long way to go. But to hear him go out and go in the scrimmage, make a 60-yard touchdown pass, and it was yards after contact. It wasn't hitting him in stride and he just runs on in. It was had to fight, break some tackles to get there.
You would think with the receiving corps and C.J. Conrad and Greg Hart that there are going to be targets aplenty in the red zone, right?
Yeah.
Where they should be able, Drew Barker should be able to find someone available to catch a ball in the end zone.
Now, Grant said something about the tight end, said they needed to catch the ball on a more consistent basis. He said, can't be 85%, needs to be 95%. So it sounds like there's a possibility there.
Or 88. Or 28. But yeah.
That there could have been a drop in the end zone where they didn't finish and get a touchdown in the red zone. So that could have been what made him say that. But Boone Williams, he went live about 10 plays, picked up the blitz, got tackled. Grand said, we already decided what we were going to give to Boone, and I got exactly what I wanted out of him. And he has to practice like he wants the job. And Grant said he has been the last 6-7 practices. He's accepted the challenge and acted like he wants it. But if he doesn't, we'll move on. We got other guys.
And that's what we were talking about earlier. Offensively, I think the depth is there.
Mm-hmm.
At most positions. Even I think Steven Johnson did some good things in the scrimmage yesterday.
Yeah.
Not that I'm, you know.
So we heard.
Yeah, so we heard. But defensively is just, I think it could be a real struggle.
Stoops said Cash Daniel is a guy we have to look at to see if he can help us. Physically looks good, but he's got to do it mentally. And he said that's the same with the D-line. We got to bring some guys along the way we did with the DBs last year who were ready by game 5 or 6. Like Derek Beatty, he had an interception in the scrimmage yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Beatty didn't start until midway through the season. He's a true freshman. They needed him to come along. So, like Cash Daniel, T.J. Carter, Cordell Looney, Jaquizz Cross. These are some of these guys that may play, but it may not be until midseason until they play. But
look at that schedule, Dan, and they can't wait till game 5. Right? We can't wait till game 4 or 5 or 6 for some of these guys to be ready in order to win, right? I mean,
well, DJ Elliott
got to win
good,
that first game.
Yeah. Well, he had a good thing to say about that. He said with the younger guys, you have to be careful with throwing the young guys in the fire because it can't be all negative results. You can't go out there and have them miss a lot of assignments. You have to find out what they do good and use that to encourage them. But, I mean, that's a delicate balance always has been with, like, especially a quarterback, but let's say linebacker. You throw Cash Daniel in there. And he can't do a single thing right except hit somebody. You know, if that happens, is what I'm saying.
And in the heat of the game, he's gonna get screamed at, yelled at, and right. Because that's what it, you know.
And now maybe, you know, his confidence is not so good, and then he can't get it back or something. You know, that's just what one of those things. That's a delicate balance of who to play. And but, I mean, Eddie Grant said, I mean, as far as you're worried about the defense, well, he said on offense, we're so far away offensively. Our expectations are so high, but though, I mean, that's part of it. He said, we're glad we're not playing tomorrow, but any coach would say that. We're going in the right direction, but we've got to fine-tune some things and be a lot more successful to beat Southern Miss. 381-1313, if you want to get in here and talk UK football, we'll continue the conversation after this on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitar Show on ESPN Radio.
Allison and Stugatz are feuding because Stugatz continues to, after firing Allison, demean her with emails that I just got forwarded. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me get it for you so that I could read. This is so Stugatz right here. T in the subject line. Do we have any? Could use. Sorry. Thanks, misspelled.
Dan Lebatard, weekdays 10 to 1 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Your Legends are giving all kids 12 and under free tickets. That's right, free tickets for all kids at the game today. First pitch at 2:05. And as always, on Sundays, all kids run the bases after the game. Sign your child up for free at LexingtonLegends.com.
Hey, y'all, Bo Hunter here. For quite some time, I've been telling you about my favorite store, R&R Archery and Outdoors. Hunting season is almost here, and they've got great closeout prices on all Bear archery bows. Seriously, why would you even consider buying a new bow anywhere else? They have great prices on all their equipment, an amazing selection in stock, and offer setup and service of your new equipment that you just can't get from some big box store. Plus, now through September 30th, go to R&R Archery for the Hoyt Defiant Test Drive event. With the area's best indoor shooting range, you can test drive the new Defiant bow from Hoyt. While you're there, don't forget to enter the Hoyt Sweepstakes. You might just win a 2016 custom Ram truck from Hoyt. Remember, great closeout prices and all Bear bows, including the Apprentice, Escape, and Arena, while supplies last. When they're gone, they're gone. This is Bo Hunter. You can hit your target every time with R&R Archery, 106 Osborne Way in the Walmart Shopping Center off I-75 in Georgetown.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I'm going to tell you something that the insurance industry is going to be absolutely furious about me sharing with you. Most consumers, year in and year out, just renew their existing insurance policies blindly. You may not even notice the rate increases, but they're there. Over the years, you are paying way too much needlessly. My suggestion, each year, get a new quote from 3 independent agents. And don't use the online services. They're owned by insurance companies. If all of us did this every year, we would save billions of dollars in business, life, disability, and auto premiums. And if your agent doesn't add uninsured motorists to your policy, don't buy from them. They're not on your side. At Morgan & Morgan, we represent consumers. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com.
Offices Lexington.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So the assessment from the UK football scrimmage is the defense played a little bit better. The offense did some good things. But depth.
Which is not really a new scenario.
Here's the thing that's most concerning about this issue with depth. DJ Elliott said the first group was good, but not where we need to be with depth, both fundamentally and assignment-wise.
And you're also talking about no Darius West, no Reggie Mann.
Right. And he said, tackling, it's only the second live opportunity we've had, and we're still not where it needs to be, so I'll have to get that accomplished in practice. So there'll have to be some tackling drills, which that doesn't seem so outlandish to me. It is football, after all. I understand you don't want to get guys hurt in practice, but if you don't practice tackling,
yeah,
it's hard to tackle when it's for real. He said Jordan Bonner is getting better every day. Jordan Jones had a better scrimmage today than last week. I don't know. I don't know. You need 8 guys up front. You need eight. You could get away with 6, I guess. So that's Matt Elam. That's Adrian Middleton. That's Courtney Miggins. There's 3. Now, you hear him saying
that. And really, Miggins is the only one that the coach, that DJ Elliott has specifically said he's got it.
Right. Alvante Bell is another guy that they'll probably move around in there. There's 4. And then after that, you know, it's not really anyone that they've said that they're pleased with. Like, Adrian Middleton is more of a technician, I guess is the word to use, that I've heard from the players. Whereas Miggins, you know, might have the explosiveness and talent with the technique or whatever. And they don't say Adrian Middleton is, like, explosive or what. You know what I mean? They're just, he's good at maybe getting off a block, finding the ball. You need that.
Yes, you do need that.
That's important. But beyond that, those other guys are just names of potential. And then at linebacker, there's all kinds of names. Like Denzel Ware, I've heard good things about him this game. Eli Brown, they've raved about him. Kobe Walker, they've raved about him. They play him at nickel some and at linebacker. Josh Allen, I've heard good things about him. Danira Laster, heard good things about him. Courtney Love, I've not heard a whole lot about him other than the leadership stuff.
And just attitude. And
that stuff was more at the beginning of camp. Like, I haven't heard him mentioned as far as performance on the field. I mean, there are general questions that come up almost every day of who's impressing you or who's standing out or you know, who had a good day or whatever. And you'll hear those names. Now, sometimes they don't give you a name if you don't ask specifically about somebody. So it's kind of somebody, Kyle Tucker, put it this way. He says, it's like we're playing Battleship. Like, did you hit and get, you know, did you get in there? Did you ask the right question? Was it about the right guy? Or did you miss?
Yeah, because they're not going to just open it up.
No.
You've got to ask the question.
Yeah,
and if you don't, they're not offering up that information.
Right. So what my point is,
you know, on the flip side, they haven't said Courtney Love has struggled or anything like that. So
exactly my point. I'm saying that we haven't heard Courtney Love, but that doesn't mean anything because maybe the right questions haven't been asked. But he makes like 6 guys at linebacker that we're talking about. All right, now you throw Cash Daniel in there.
Who obviously Stoops mentioned as a guy they've got to take a good hard look at once he gets everything down mentally.
So they also need about 8 guys. So it sounds like they've got 3-4 guys on the defensive line and 4, maybe 5 guys. Jordan Jones, 5 guys on the defensive at linebacker they feel good about. So that's where the depth thing comes in. They need to feel good about 8 on the defensive line and feel good about 8 at linebacker, and they feel good about 1 on the defensive line for real.
Right.
But realistically, I mean, they're probably okay with the first 4, and at linebacker, they're probably okay with the first 4. Add Kobe Walker in, and you're talking about the first 5. And then after that, you need to develop.
And not to say it can't be. It's just that they haven't played, so it's hard to really tell. There's still a lot of young guys. But, I mean, there is no doubt in my mind, really, that this entire season they are going to feel Reggie Mintz's departure.
Yeah, I mean, that depth, it'll be, because it could be, where's the schedule? Let me look at the schedule real quick. Because it could be, when you say game 5 or 6, what are we talking about?
We're talking about.
Oh, here it is. It's on the back.
We're talking about there's a few games that you got to win early on, and that's
so Southern
South Carolina, Miss, Southern Miss.
Yeah, Southern Miss, Florida, New Mexico State, South Carolina, Alabama is game 5. So really, if you can get a boost from these guys for the Vanderbilt Mid-State Missouri stretch.
Yeah, huge. But it won't matter if we haven't beaten South Carolina, New Mexico State, and Southern Miss.
You're going to beat New Mexico State.
Yeah.
Count on that. Southern Miss and South Carolina are the question marks if you're not where you need to be, depth-wise. Southern Miss, obviously, is the big question mark. They're going to come in here super hungry. They've got a really good quarterback. Shannon Dawson, maybe they're playing a little bit more for him. Who knows? I don't know. But
well, and also, I do think, you know, you people can, or other teams can knock Kentucky all they want, but if they beat them, then it's all of a sudden, yeah, we beat an SEC team.
Yes.
And so Southern Miss is also going to want that on their resume. We went into SEC country and came out with a win. I just think there's a lot of motivation for Southern Miss.
Absolutely. You think about EKU last year, that game. I mean, so if you want to take the talent, say that, you know, the Kentucky definitely should have an advantage there. Well, that comes into play in the depth. There's one area that definitely comes into play is the depth. But Kentucky's ones should be more talented on both sides of the ball, you know, especially the secondary. But if there's no pass rush, if there's no pressure, then the secondary...
It all goes hand in hand.
Yeah. But the Southern Miss game...
I know. I can't, like...
It's 13 days away.
It gives me, like, anxiety.
Well, it would definitely be spirited talk radio if Kentucky is not 1-0 start the season. Because here's what could happen. It could go so if you beat Southern Miss, then you beat New Mexico State, you beat South Carolina, you beat Vanderbilt, and you beat Austin Peay. Those are your five wins. Those are the ones you have to. That has to happen. Those are the most winnable. Those are the ones that Kentucky will be favored in. Kentucky's favored to beat Southern Miss. They'll be favored against New Mexico State. They'll be favored at home against South Carolina, be favored at home against Vanderbilt, and obviously be favored to beat Austin Peay. So those are your five wins. You got to get number six.
And Missouri, I think they could, you know.
Yeah, that's a road win. All right, so that is the sixth most likely game Kentucky would win. Mississippi State at home?
I don't know.
But that could be seven. So you go to that Louisville game, and you're 6-5? How big is that Louisville game now? If you're 6-5, you could go 7-5. The bowl game's better. Win the bowl game, you're 8-5. 6-5 entering the Louisville game, you're already bowl eligible. You lose the Louisville game, you're 6-6. You go to the bowl, you lose the bowl game, you're 6-7. It's your seventh straight losing season, and you're out there saying, but we made progress. But the fans aren't as enthusiastic.
But I think that will buy them.
What'll buy them?
Yeah. Yeah. But also, like, I mean, we're looking into end of November, last game of the season. Kentucky may be 6-5. Louisville may be 10-1.
Yeah. Could be.
It's so hard to predict. Like Mississippi State, I don't know. They might be good.
They might not.
They might not. That's so hard to tell right now, but I saw somewhere this morning where Louisville will start the season, the preseason rankings at number 19.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And they may move up higher than that.
Did you see Jen Smith's story on De Niro Laster?
I did.
We'll talk about it next here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-693-0243. 800-693-0243. That's 800-693-0243. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 19, Oregon DM 80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC32.
Lucky's Auto Sports is Central Kentucky's largest window tinting facility. Defining ride since 1999. Want to cut down on glare while you're driving? Want to protect your interior? Want that stylish look of darker windows? Bring your car or truck to Lucky's Auto Sports for same day service and let us tint your windows today. Our staff has over 40 years experience and all the tools of the trade in auto tinting to ensure quality service, and all of our professional window tinting for your car, truck, RV, or SUV is backed by a lifetime warranty on bubbling, peeling, and fading. Lucky's Auto Sports only uses high performance films and all of our tint is computer cut. That means a machine cuts the tint before our technicians apply it to your vehicle's windows, so everything looks factory installed. Call us at 859-299-4411 or get a quote and download coupons at luckysautosports.com today. That's Lucky's Auto Sports, your source for window tinting, auto and truck accessories, car audio, remote starts, and more.
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is all wink, wink, hush, hush.
Check to the script.
At the Botany Bay, we have things. So many things. You like tie-dyes? We got them. We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, C6, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Botany Bay, we're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Botany Bay. 420 East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut in Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So we were talking about Mo Williams earlier, and then somebody tweeted in and said what?
That he's from Lexington and played junior high ball here, moved to Columbus, Georgia for high school.
See, I didn't realize that. I would have been, when Mo was in junior high, I would have been in Williamsburg, living in Williamsburg. But he has the most yards in a single season, 1,600 yards in 1995. And he is second all time. I was looking to see how many guys have rushed for 1,000 yards, who've had 1,000-yard seasons rushing in Kentucky's history.
It ain't many.
It's five. Ever. Mo Williams, we just gave you. Name the other ones without looking it up on the internet. You can call us if you want. 381-1313. Steven, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey,
good.
Steven.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. One thing that irked me this week was Mr. Shannon Dawson. You know, it's like, one, for a guy who left here and seemed to, quote, be happy that he left, he keeps talking about us a lot. You know, that just seems kind of odd to me. And then also, like...
Well, first, he wasn't happy that he left, though.
Oh, was it? I mean...
He
kind of sounded like it, but I mean, I'm...
No.
He wasn't really.
No.
The other thing, too, is just his whole statement, what he said this week. I mean, you know, like, how hard he was on both quarterbacks, man. It's just like, you know, it's like, how many teams have won without great quarterbacks? You know, it's to me, it's just the whole thing was just one horrible excuse, you know, about, you know, why he didn't do well here. you know, this is whole statement about both the quarterbacks and everything. And it's just, you know, you want to look at Shannon and be like, you know, is it their fault you made, like, you know, so many bad offensive calls? We had so many, like, penalties on, like, you know, stupid little stuff and everything. I mean, it just, to be honest, I really hope we stick it to Southern Miss when they come. Yeah, I really do. Now, they've kind of, like, you know, they're not up there with Louisville on teams I hope we crush, but, you know, they're on the, you know, list of teams I hope we take care of decisively.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons. Because I also think the whole season hangs in the balance, you know, on that game, too.
You can't lose one of those games. Like, you know, the Southern Miss, what's the other two?
New Mexico State, Austin Peay.
Say what?
New Mexico State and Austin Peay.
Yeah, you cannot lose those games. If you know, you guys were talking about crowd support. I mean, if you lose one of those games, they're done for the year.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
yeah.
You know, the thing about it, like, this year you have to win the crowd back, and you can't lose one of those three games, because I really think, you know, you'll lose people quick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a long leash on the fandom.
No, not at all.
No, it's already a show-me part right now. Like John Clay's article, he had, like, five takeaways from the first 2 weeks of camp, and I think the last one was that the fans' approach is now you got to win. Nothing else means anything. Like, new facility, that's great. Changes at Commonwealth Stadium, that's great. Recruiting going good, that's great. Win. I don't care anymore. Win. I'm not showing up until you win. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying for this until you win. I've heard it all before. I feel like I've been bamboozled and watched, you know, should have been bowl eligible, or at least one last year, and I'm tired of it, and I don't like the way I've been treated as a season ticket holder, or, you know, all that stuff.
And, you know, part of it is, you know, Mark Stoops walks into a situation where, aside from a couple of stretches of some decent years, I mean, Kentucky football fans have been suffering forever. So it's not necessarily his, you know, he walks into a situation already where misery is part of the game.
The thing I hate about that, Mary Jo, was a lot of that in that case was not his fault.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Because, like, I've always said keeping Joker that last year was a massive mistake. And to be honest, he paid for it. I really think he always has, because along with the fan base, I've told people, is like, it feels like, you know, they keep it yo-yoed. It's like, we're great, then we stink again. We're great, then we stink again, you know, and it's just like fans are kind of like tired of, you know, they get to a point where it's like, you know, either be consistently good or we're not coming back, you know, and then you combine that feeling with, you know, how many people were ticked about, you know, losing their, you know, the parking spaces and, you know, having to, like, you know, basically they kind of like feel like, you said, bamboozled by UK with all the new stadium stuff and that, how it didn't really apply to them, you know, to the average fan. So it's really a make or break year for this program, I think. I think they have to keep progress.
Not just a little progress. They have to get a bowl game. They have to have six wins.
Oh, it's bowl or bust.
It's bowl or bust, absolutely, 100%.
Oh, for a lot of fans. A lot of tickets. I know a lot of season ticket holders in the stands. I mean, this is – in fact, most of them are gone. So I think they have to. It's either this year or next year, that number is going to drop a lot.
Yeah.
It's going to be really hard to convince people that they are better if they don't go to a bowl. And it'll be really hard to convince them with positive spin at fall camp next year if they don't go to a bowl. It'll just be.
And fans are not like, you know, hey, you got to go to, like, this bowl, or you have to go to this high-end bowl. Just a bowl. For, you know, even the, like, you know, the Belk Bowl. It's like, man, we'll take it.
There's a bunch more of them now. But, I mean, it used to be, I mean, Kentucky pop up and hit a bowl game every now and again. You know, like how Mummy had a couple.
And then
it wasn't until, you know, Rich Brooks that the expectation changed. And while Rich Brooks was here and led him to five straight bowl games, he was asking for more money to be put into the football program. Okay, so then all that momentum that had been building and the program that was being built just got tore back down again.
Evaporated.
In 3 years. Yep. So it's a complete rebuild 3 years later when your expectation had been seven wins, possibility of eight or nine, one of those seasons maybe is magical, but we're going bowling, we're seeing good football.
And so, you're going to Commonwealth Stadium thinking, we have a shot.
Yeah.
Most fans, and I'm telling you guys, most fans that I talk to, if you have seven, eight win seasons on a consistent basis, they'll take that. Just because.
Oh, God, yeah.
SEC's so tough, you know, it's like, you know, we're not the basketball team in terms like, you know, with Cal, it's, you know, we win the SEC or this year's a failure, basically.
If you're getting seven or eight wins, especially eight, that means you're beating a team that you shouldn't beat.
You're going 4-4 in the SEC. And you're going 500 in the SEC.
Yeah, fans will take that.
Yeah.
All the time.
I would take that any year. And I think that's what fans are wanting. You know, we're not in that mode of like, we want SEC championship or nothing. No, it's like just consistent winning. You know, we're a program that can win consistently. Just get back to that level. And the fans would come back. You know, if you did that, they would come right back.
Oh, sure, they're dying for it.
Well, it's all about recruiting. Yeah. Recruiting has gone well, but you still have to see results, and now they got the new facility, and so recruits can't – the only thing recruits could say the reason they don't want to come to Kentucky is because they don't win enough games.
Yeah.
So that's it now. I mean, the money has been spent. It's all been put in there. They made a commitment. They saw what Rich Brooks brought them, and they weren't ready to spend the money then, and then the Joker Phillips era was a disaster.
Yep.
And said, okay, we're going all in here. We're going out and getting the Stoops.
Yep.
We're going to spend a bunch of money. We're going to upgrade our facilities and our stadium. And now it's time. And this is it. This is payday. This year
it is, 'cause
has to happen.
He's got all the stuff. And you mentioned the recruiting. And I think part of that also goes back to Rich Brooks, because they were winning with seemingly much lower ranked recruiting classes.
Not seemingly. Absolutely, positively. Yeah.
Yeah.
The stars were not there.
It was
player development.
And they were winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, I mean, like that first, you know, to me, it was like, I think it was the 06 season when we went to Music City for the first time. And, you know, and the talent wasn't huge that year. But it just, you know, they worked. You know, they worked them, you know. Dude, that was one of the best seasons, and you know, that I ever experienced as a UK fan, just because it's like they worked their tails off that year, and it's just, you know, you want that type of excitement back. You know, it's like that's what I'm wanting. Just, you know, just something as a UK fan that, like, you know, it's like I'm loving the new stadium and everything, and you know, the practice facility is awesome, and the barber shop looks awesome in there and everything. But you know, give me a consistent winning performance on the field, and you know, I'd be a happy camper.
Well, that feeling you're talking about, it was there last season for a little bit, you know, at South Carolina.
It just went so sour that you forget about it.
Guys, if what's his name catches that pass in the Florida game,
that Florida game, I think it was a sellout. I was there. I mean, it was a ton of people there, and the feeling and the energy in there was, it's happening. The streak against Florida is over. This is going to happen. Just beat South Carolina. What if we beat Florida? That's kind of the feeling right there. And we're ready. It's going to happen. And then that changes everything. You don't even have to worry about Vanderbilt. Now that's just a letdown because you still wound up bowl eligible.
I have told my dad last year when he goes with me to games and everything, who dropped the pass? I hate to say it.
You forgot who dropped the pass against Florida?
I can't.
Dorian Baker, brother, and that haunted him the rest of the season, man. Woo!
Good grief.
Had people calling here going, sit him, bench him.
Yeah.
If he can't catch a pass, he's got to go.
But you guys, I'm telling you, I think it haunted the rest of the season. But you took the word, Dan. It haunted him and all his program. He literally thought that the season is different. It is literally a different season. You know, even if he even if they won that game, lost every other game, but won the other cupcake game.
Yeah.
Great. We're in a bowl. You know,
yeah.
Like, you know,
and you would have beaten Florida.
And you would have beaten Florida because that's what the highlights. You think about Joker, the highlights were
beating Tennessee.
Beating Tennessee, right. And that was in a miserable year. But beating right. South Carolina and Steve Spurrier for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, that made that season, even though you lost the bowl game, it still made that season something that was like, okay, all right, we took a little step back, but, you know, we're all right.
We crushed a couple of long-time records, you know?
Yeah.
It was like great, you know?
Yeah. All right, Steven, we got to take a break. Appreciate the call,
thanks,
brother.
Guys.
All right, Steven, talk to you soon.
We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Tune in to ESPN Sports Radio 1300 weekdays at 8 and 4 for the Central Bank Reds update with Doug Flynn all season long. Central Bank, where local service and knowledgeable bankers give you the central difference.
It's Coach Cal.
Celebrate your independence from high prices with huge savings during the Great American Sales Event at Paul Miller.
It's the final days of the Paul Miller Ford Great American Sales Event. Shop over 800 vehicles, including the Kentucky-made Ford Escape and the super tough Ford F-150. With the largest inventory in Central Kentucky and more Escapes and F-150s than any other dealer, plus special financing and additional savings, now is the time to buy at Paul Miller Ford. Go online for special pricing at paulmillerford.com.
Your Legends are giving all kids 12 and under free tickets. That's right, free tickets for all kids at the game today. First pitch at 2:05. And as always, on Sundays, all kids run the bases after the game. Sign your child up for free at LexingtonLegends.com.
Ride rough, ride tough. MLS Power Sports got the ride you're looking for.
Is summer moving too fast? Get the horsepower to catch it at MLS Power Sports of Georgetown during the Arctic Cat Factory Authorized Clearance Sale. Get a 2015 Wildcat Sport for as low as $156 a month or 0% financing and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports to ride in the summer sun. Arctic Cat, share our passion. Offer subject to change. Not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Ride victoriously.
Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Each rider must wear a seatbelt and approved helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. We recommend that all ROV operators have a driver's license and that all riders take a training course. Read and understand the owner's manual before operation. For safety or training information, see your dealer. Savings vary by model, purchase, and dealer participation. Offer subject to change. See dealer for details.
Schwab's Pipes and Stuff. It's where to go when your day's been rough.
We're family-owned since 1977. Come and enjoy our smoking lounge and patio on Southland Drive.
Hey, hey, our cigars are great and our blends are the bomb. It's time for you to get your smoke on. So head on down to a place you're sure to love. Talking about Schwab's Pipes and Stuff.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Couple of major leaguers with Kentucky connections have had a good weekend. Ben Revere the other night got the top play on SportsCenter, top 10. Like Dusty Baker said, he needs to get that framed. Somebody else, one of his teammates, said it's like the best catch he's ever seen live in a game. But Revere went up and robbed a home
run. He's done that a couple times.
Yes. He plays, of course, for the Washington Nationals now. He went to Lexington Catholic. And, I mean, he's going to be in the playoffs. I mean, the Nationals are – the Nationals, the Cubs, the Giants, and the Dodgers. Those four right there, one of them's your World Series winner, I think. I think the World Series winner is coming out of the National League, and it's one of those teams. Because the pitching – is so good for the Nationals and the Giants, and the Cubs have had it most of the year. So it could be sharp again. If it's sharp in October, look out. The Dodgers, they've got serviceable. I mean, they can get through there, but nothing like a, you know, Bumgarner Cueto,
right?
Or a Scherzer, Strasburg, you know, or Arrieta, Lester. All right, Anyway, Luke Maley's the other. Kentuckian, played at UK, got a call up for the Tampa Bay Rays and hit his first career home run.
I always love seeing that. I always think, God, that's got to be the coolest feeling ever.
Yes.
To hit your first big league home run. Like, there can't be, because I do think that's probably the hardest thing to do in sports.
Hit a home run?
Hit a home run in baseball, yeah.
I think it's beating Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz.
Probably.
But the home run is also difficult.
I also want to get something off my chest real quick, because I did watch the Ryan Lochte interview last night. I've been glued to the Olympics for 2 weeks. I'm sad it's ending. Also kind of glad it's ending because I can get back to my life now. The men's basketball team plays for the gold medal today against Serbia.
That's at like 2:15, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Matt Lauer interviewed Ryan Lochte last night, and he couldn't have seemed more disingenuous, just more idiotic. It made me
dumb
hate him even more. And that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Well,
he just kept saying the stupidest things over and over again.
Yeah, I think we were talking about it off air. And what did we say? That he was who he was. Like, at 32 years old, if he's still acting this way, thinking this way, there's nothing else is going to change for him. He's always going to be that guy.
Yeah.
So the sooner he's out of the spotlight and representing America, the better. Just get him out, get it over with, go.
It appears we have extremely talented swimmers.
Yeah.
Elsewhere. I would be fine with never seeing Ryan Lochte again.
Yeah.
I also think there's, you know, a much broader discussion that people will probably have that's probably, you know, we wouldn't ever do on this show. That, gosh, if Ryan Lochte didn't look the way he did and probably have the privilege and money that he's got, it might be, you know, I'm just saying, like, he's getting away with it.
Yes.
He's still getting away with it.
Yeah.
Other guys had to pay money, had to stay in Rio. He's still getting away with being the way he's being. And that's not right.
So, the Associated Press football poll came out.
Yeah, Louisville's 19.
Louisville's 19. You had mentioned that earlier. The other teams that Kentucky play include Alabama, number one, Tennessee, number nine, Georgia, number 18, Louisville, number 19. So, what's that? Bama, Tennessee, Georgia, Louisville. Four teams there in the top 20 that Kentucky is going to play this year. This is the preseason. It was Alabama, 1, Clemson, 2, Oklahoma, 3, Florida State, 4, LSU, 5, Ohio State 6, Michigan number 7. I missed 8. Who is 8? 9 is Tennessee. Notre Dame is 10. Ole Miss 11. And then, yeah, Georgia 18. 19 is Louisville. I think UCLA was actually 8, I believe.
Were they?
But anyway.
No, UCLA is 16.
16.
All USC 20. Yeah. Iowa 17. Michigan State in there.
So some big games coming up for Kentucky, no doubt. Little League World Series. Got to mention that. Bowling Green, Kentucky, back in it. They beat Texas 11-1 in pool play. I think they'll probably play again today in pool play. It's at 7 o'clock on ESPN2. 7 o'clock, ESPN2. Oh, my gosh. They're showing the opening weekend. LSU, Wisconsin. Southern Cal, Alabama.
How do you not get
Clemson, Auburn. Notre Dame, Texas. Ole Miss, Florida State. Woo!
I have a wedding to go to at 6 o'clock on September 3rd.
No.
And I have...
Sorry.
And I've already RSVP'd that I'm going, and I saw them last night and was talking about it, and now I'm like...
You're sick.
You're sick. I can't go.
You're sick.
I can't go.
I couldn't find someone to watch my baby. You have a huge, huge asset right there for excuses to not go to something. baby. You can always put it on the baby. Don't say baby's sick. No, 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 Josh. No, 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 no.
No. You do not use.
Yeah, you don't. That's bad. Yeah, you can't be like.
One of the worst things I've ever done in my life was to get out of work by saying my grandmother died. And she died the next week, and I couldn't be at the funeral because I lied about it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that happened.
Don't do that, Josh. Don't do it. Do not involve family members in sickness or death to get out of something as an excuse. Okay. I can't find somebody to watch my kids.
Yep, that
works. Acceptable. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
So, guys, what are the rules that take it?